A Daily Dose of Luther is Good for the Soul. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October is a new devotional resource, Day by Day with Martin Luther. You can find out more at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, 800-325-3040. Day by Day with Martin Luther costs $12.99 plus shipping and handling. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October, Day by Day with Martin Luther.
Holy Father, on behalf of Michelle and myself, welcome to the White House.
I would not advocate that we put a Muslim in charge of this nation. I absolutely would not agree with that.
It's an evil organization. It doesn't serve women. It doesn't give women choices. It's there to build an empire on the bodies of dead babies.
Everyone who has perpetrated these sins, Jesus responds by forgiving that sin. Everyone who is victimized by these sins, Jesus responds by giving them victory over these sins, by shedding his blood for their own transgressions.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
I don't think I've heard of this one. I've heard of just about everything. The Seven Mountains Mandate. It's apparently a means of bringing the kingdom of God to earth. Now, there have been a lot of people who've promised that they could bring the kingdom of God to earth. It's never quite worked out, has it? Well, there is one person who promised to bring the kingdom of God to earth, and it's working out beautifully, and that's Jesus Christ. Of course, he says, "My kingdom is not of this world," and he talks about a kingdom in which we will be citizens by grace, not by carrying out some kind of Seven Mountains mandate. So we will have to wait and see what this really means. Pastor Chris Roseboro is going to join us here in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Bilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. This week in Pop American Christianity, we'll talk about the Seven Mountains mandate. A little bit later, we're going to play Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Now, that's coming up in the last half hour, but you could already vote for Soundbite of the Week. You can listen at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. And you can vote by giving us a call, 1-877-623-6943, sending us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, sending us a tweet at issuesetc, or going to our Facebook fan page where we have left space for your votes for Issues, Etc. Soundbite of the Week on this Friday afternoon, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. That's coming up here in about 25 minutes, 30 minutes on Issues, Etc. In the meantime, it's This Week in Pop American Christianity. Pastor Chris Roseboro is our guest, pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
Okay, you're going to have to bring everybody up to speed on this one, the Seven Mountains Mandate. It sounds ominous, and it promises big things, nothing short of the kingdom of God on earth. Where's it come from? What is it?
All right. We're going to spend some time on something that a lot of people may not be aware of, but this is a very pervasive doctrine and teaching, and it is growing in popularity. In fact, one of the things I've noticed over the past few years is more and more seeker-driven churches, especially those that believe in kind of a mild or even less than mild form of Pentecostalism or, you know, charismatic, you know, the revival of the gifts kind of thing. They're in the charismatic movement. More and more of them have bought into and are on board with what they're calling this Seven Mountains mandate, and they are literally saying that this is a direct revelation given by God, starting with two people, Lauren Cunningham of YWAM and Bill Bright of Campus Crusade, back in the 1970s, and they've jumped onto this, and they are literally saying that Christ in these days has kind of created a new thing, and the mission of the church is to reclaim these seven mountains, and by doing so, that they will do nothing less than actually bring the kingdom of God to earth. And so what we're going to be doing today is kind of introducing people to where this comes from, get an idea of what, you know, what some of this language talks about, and we'll even kind of pick up on at least one of the major people in this. And so just so that people can become aware of this. And the funny thing is that once you're aware of it, if you start listening for it in your kind of your charismatic big box churches, you are very likely to find them, you know, basically on board with this and publicly teaching that this is what the church needs to be about.
So who are we going to hear and what should we be listening for?
Okay, we're going to start, you know, kind of back at the beginning, a gentleman by the name of Gilman Hill. And he worked with Bill Bright, you know, back in the day. And in this soundbite, we're going to hear Gilman Hill recounting the story of how Bill Bright and Lauren Cunningham apparently both received this revelation from God at the same time. And he's going to basically say that this is confirmed as a revelation from God. But I'm going to let Gilman kind of set the stage for us and tell us the story as he remembers it.
Back at that time, Lauren Cunningham was, first of all, he says, I would like to meet Lauren Cunningham. Could you arrange that? So I called over to YWAM and said, where can I find Lauren Cunningham? And they said, well, he's somewhere up in the high mountains of outside of Durango, and he's in a tent under a fire lookout area, and we have no way of communicating with him. So he said, but you know, if you really urgent need him, I'll send a man up there on horseback to the fire lookout, and I'll go get his direction of where to find Lauren's tent. So this man on horseback went up there, found Lauren Cunningham in a tent all by himself. He was alone. Actually, this was his getaway to seek the Lord. What did the Lord want him to do? Was to get away for several days in the mountains and then just be with the Lord. And he felt there was an urgency of coming down, so he came down out of the mountains. At that time, remember that Lauren Cunningham, when he came forward to meet Bill, shake hands with Bill Bright, he took out of his coat pocket a envelope, and on the back of the envelope, he had written, these are the seven spheres of influence that we need to develop. So the seven spheres of influence on his paper, Bill Bright being much better organized, he had a typewritten sheet that had the same outline, the same seven in the same sequence. They were just marveling at how could they, each individually, far away with no communication with one another, come up with the same seven items in the right sequence. So this is an ultimate confirmation that God, the Holy Spirit, would speak to each of the three of them and have the same identical ones.
Okay, so what's being claimed here?
Okay, so the idea here is that as you know, as the story is recounted, and since we're dealing with somebody who is an eyewitness to the event, which is what Gilman Hill is, they're basically claiming that this is a direct revelation that God gave to two men at the same time, to Lauren Cunningham and to Bill Bright. And he recounted how, at the time, Lauren Cunningham was up in the mountains, you know, seeking the Lord's face, and he had received the direct revelation from God. Bill Bright also had received the direct revelation from God, and they spoke with each other, and without comparing notes, when they pulled out their papers, what God had revealed to them, they both had the same ideas in the exact same order, which Gilman Hill then says is that this is confirmation it must be from God. And so the idea here is that those who are buy into the idea of the seven spheres, or what's come to be known now as the seven mountains mandate, they absolutely believe that this is a direct revelation and new marching orders received from God and given to Lauren Cunningham of YWAM and Bill Bright of Campus Crusade.
Okay, a couple things just to kind of take that apart a little bit. Somebody, would you recommend someone go off into a tent and seek a private revelation from God?
No, I seek revelation from God every day when I open up the Scriptures, and that would be the written Word of God, and I hear the voice of God directly through Scripture. And so the person who somehow thinks that they've got to, get out of town, go up a high mountain, go out to the wilderness or desert in order to receive a direct revelation from God, we've already got a problem. And that is that they're seeking revelation outside of the written Word of God. And not only was Lauren Cunningham seeking it, now he's claiming that he has received it. And, anybody claiming to be receiving direct revelation from God, it's important for us to know this. If they have received direct revelation from God, for us to oppose that revelation, we are opposing no other than God himself. But if they're not having received this revelation from God, then the source is either the devil or their innards or something like that. And so anybody claiming direct revelation from God, they have to be theologically quarantined and scrutinized, and the message has to see if it actually jives with Scripture. And of course, if it does, if it really is a revelation, then we've got to tack it onto the back of our Bible, which is a problem in and of itself since the canon is closed. So we're theologically we're off into murky waters. But in kind of modern charismatic circles, and even in which is now kind of bled into the heart and mainstream of evangelicalism, talking this way is just normal. When somebody says God told me this or God told me that, no one blinks an eyelash or no one cares. In a negative way, everyone just accepts that at face value without putting any discernment or biblical thought into it.
And then the fact that they claim that they came up with the exact same information after both having received a direct revelation from God. So strike one with the direct revelation from God. What about this claim that it's exactly the same information? And, then golly, only God could do that. I mean, no one could, there could be no other possible explanation than divine revelation.
Which is, again, not true. Coincidences like this don't actually necessarily point towards God being involved, because we also know that our adversary, the devil, masquerades as an angel of light, and he is quite capable of deceiving multiple people in the same way at the same time. And so just because two guys came up with an identical list completely apart from each other does not actually prove that the source for these lists is actually God the Holy Spirit.
It might prove that source is supernatural.
Yes. It might lend itself more towards that, but again, the theology here is so problematic that if one takes the time to biblically scrutinize what is claimed regarding this revelation and the implications of it, it has to be rejected because it actually contradicts Christ's great commission for the church, which is kind of another thing we could talk about at a different time.
What's next here, Chris?
Okay, next we're going to actually hear a promotional video for a teaching on the Seven Mountains. We'll hear Lauren Cunningham at first, and then a narrator will take over and explain to us what the Seven Mountains are. What is, give us a little bit more information about the direct revelation that Lauren Cunningham claims that he received from God in 1975.
It was August 1975, and the Lord had given me that day a list of things that I had never thought about before. He said, this is the way to reach America and nations for God.
In every city of the world, an unseen battle rages for dominion over God's creation and the souls of people. This battle is fought on seven strategic fronts, looming like mountains over the culture to shape and influence its destiny. Over the years, the church slowly retreated from its place of influence on these mountains, leaving a void now filled with darkness. When we lose our influence, we lose the culture. And when we lose the culture, we fail to advance the kingdom of God. And now, a generation stands in desperate need. It's time to fight for them and take back these mountains of influence. The mountain of government, where evil is either restrained or endorsed. The mountain of education, where truths or lies about God and His creation are taught. The mountain of media, where information is interpreted through the lens of good or evil. The mountain of arts and entertainment, where values and virtue are celebrated or distorted. The mountain of religion, where people worship God in spirit and truth or settle for a religious ritual. The mountain of family, where either the blessing or a curse is passed on to successive generations. And the one mountain they all depend on, the mountain that fuels and funds all the other mountains. The mountain of business, where people build for the glory of God or the glory of man, where resources are consecrated for the kingdom of God or captured for the powers of darkness. Those who lead this mountain control what influences our culture.
All right, Chris, about a minute here just to begin a comment there. That was a snappy punchline. Before we take a break, about a minute here.
Okay, so literally what the people who are advocates of the Seven Mountains mandate as come down through the prophets, Bill Bright and Lauren Cunningham, and I'm using that term for a reason, basically are claiming that in order to advance the kingdom of God, we can't effectively do so until we take over all of these seven mountains together, that apparently are create and influence culture and everything else around us. So the kingdom's going to continue to be stifled, and Christianity is going to continue to wane until we get back on the battlefield and reclaim these seven mountains: government and religion and the family and the arts and the entertainment and business and other things. And so, in the way they teach this doctrine, no joke, I wish I was making this up, is that we can't even really preach the gospel until we can demonstrate to the world how powerful God is by climbing and ascending in the hierarchy of these mountains and taking over. Only then can we truly advance the kingdom and completely reshape the world. And this is not a local vision. This is actually a global vision that these people have for literally taking and shaping in cultures around the planet and around the world.
Chris Roseborough is our guest. We're talking about the Seven Mountains mandate to bring the kingdom of God to earth. He is host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. I can remember a time in history when the church controlled government, education, media, arts, religion, family, and business. It's called medieval Roman Catholicism. Maybe that's what they want. Who knows? We'll talk more about it after this.
This is the day which the Lord has made.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Better is one day in your courts.
Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel, live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Bless and preserve us.
You might wonder, is it possible for my child with special needs to receive a rich classical Christian education? Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope answers yes. With the Simply Classical curriculum created by Cheryl and published by Memoria Press, there's no reason to withhold a beautiful education from any struggling student. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR. classicalspecialneeds.com.
Providing artillery support for the church militant on the front lines, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Resurrection Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. Bethlehem Lutheran, Parma, Ohio. St. Paul's Lutheran, Lockport, Illinois. Faith Lutheran, Columbus, Indiana. Glory of Christ Lutheran, Plymouth, Minnesota. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Arnold, Missouri. Peace Lutheran, Sussex, Wisconsin. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Zion Lutheran, Moberly, Missouri. And Elm Grove Lutheran, Elm Grove, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, We'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. Journal. IssuesETC.org. Click Support. The Issues Etc. 300.
The example of killing the child born alive is sufficiently arresting and astonishing. And I think that is quite sufficient for Republican candidates to talk about. And we're dealing now with a party of people who seem to be, as we might say, rhetorically challenged.
You have to have the theology of baptism and the doctrine of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And you have to have the teaching of all of the things that Jesus does if you want to have evangelism.
You cannot help but notice you have a lot of men of European descent passing these extraordinary laws based on ignorance.
As far as I could tell, Bill Nye is a man of European descent.
Well, how can we give our children a better world if we don't allow those children to be born? If we kill them in the womb, they'll never know what the temperature is.
Coming up in about 20 minutes, we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. That's a game where we play four soundbites. There's just a taste of the four. We'll play those four in their entirety. And then you will vote and pick Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week by giving us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, by sending us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, by voting via Twitter at IssuesETC, or at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC, facebook.com/IssuesETC. And we'll give away the LPR bundle package. And I have Issues T-shirt, an Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, and a notepad to the vote, best vote for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Pastor Chris Rosebro is our guest. It's This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're talking about the Seven Mountains Mandate. What are we going to hear next, Chris?
Okay, we're going to hear next a gentleman by the name of C. Peter Wagner. And he is really kind of the elder statesman for the whole Seven Mountains Mandate and what's become known as the New Apostolic Reformation. And their theology has kind of morphed into what they call dominionism. And by way of kind of an interesting side note, C. Peter Wagner was Rick Warren's doctoral advisor at Fuller Theological Seminary, and he taught there for many years. And this next soundbite takes this concept of the Seven Mountains, and C. Peter Wagner is going to make it clear that he believes that this is a mandate given from God that the church must, by divine decree, reclaim and actually war for taking control back of these Seven Mountains. And you're going to hear something in there about the ecclesiology that's now in place to supposedly fulfill this divine decree.
Which brings us to the Dominion Mandate. Now, first of all, I want to point out these two words, dominion and mandate. The word mandate, you've got to understand, mandate means an authoritative order or command. It doesn't mean a good idea. It doesn't mean a suggestion. It means an authoritative order. Dominion has to do with control. Dominion has to do with rulership. Dominion has to do with authority and subduing. And it relates to society. Dominion means being the head and not the tail. Dominion means ruling as kings. It says in Revelation chapter 1, 6 that he has made us kings and priests. And check the rest of that verse. It says for dominion. Jesus delegated establishing his kingdom to us. What do I mean? To you and to me. We are the ones who are supposed to bring this about. See, Jesus trained his disciples to take charge after he left. The year 2001 opened the second apostolic age. The government of the church is now in place. We're aligning with apostles and prophets. And this war that we're in, that we have talked about, has two fronts. It has a spiritual front and it has a natural front. This is spiritual warfare. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers. That's the spiritual front, but we better not stay there. We better bring it down to the natural front. And that's what all the dancing us, as Robert's going to talk about, we're going to talk about bringing it to earth. And this is the new cutting edge for this generation. God is revealing powerful concepts for us, which I don't have time to explain. But one of the things God has given us is the 7M mandate regarding the Seven Mountains. He's given us the teaching of the church in the workplace. He's given us the teaching of having of knowing that he's placed apostles in the workplace, not just in the nuclear church. And he's also given us revelation of the crucial role of wealth. We will not see sustained transformation of cities or nations without controlling vast amounts of kingdom wealth.
I remember when C. Peter Wagner was just a church growth guru, Chris. What's he saying there?
Well, he's literally saying that this is a mandate, not a suggestion, but an absolute divine mandate from God that we are to reclaim these seven mountains and that the church needs to be militantly aligned and involved with fulfilling this mandate in order to bring Christ's kingdom to earth. That's literally what he's saying. And you'll notice that he also said in there, if you go back and re-listen to it, he said that in 2001 that there was, you know, a change in the church, kind of a realigning, and he really believes that in 2001 God gave, starting at that time, new apostles here on the earth. And for a while, C. Peter Wagner was one of those apostles, and he's since passed his mantle on to a gentleman by the name of Chuck Pierce, who has a congregation in Texas called Glory of Zion. And so C. Peter Wagner has been involved in a network of churches and help, and if you would, setting people up and giving them the title and apparently the office of apostle. And at one time, Todd Bentley of the Lakeland Revival was actually installed and ordained as one of the new apostles here on the earth by C. Peter Wagner himself. And so, I mean, if you think about kind of the implications of the ecclesiology, but not only the goal of what's going on here, we're no longer talking about going and making disciples of all nations, baptizing and teaching all that Christ has commanded. No, the church has new marching orders, and that is to take these seven mountains and transform cities and transform nations and then ultimately transform the whole world. And everybody who's buying into all of this, they're being instructed in these large mega churches that if you're a businessman, you have to be a part of this. And basically, the reason why you're in business and why you must be successful is so that you can then, if you would, funnel business resources to the New Apostolic Reformation for the purpose of waging this war in order to take these seven mountains.
Chris, if someone tells you that they're an apostle, C. Peter Wagner, anybody who follows in this kind of nonsense, or for some other reason says they're an apostle, what's your response?
It's real simple. The office of apostle is closed. And the way I know this is from the book of Acts, chapter 1, where Judas, after he hung himself, it makes it very clear that one of the offices of apostle at that time was left open, and the disciples filled that office with somebody, and there were qualifications. It had to be somebody who was with them from the beginning of Jesus's ministry at the time that he was baptized, all the way through his three-year ministry, and then was an eyewitness of the resurrection of Christ himself. Those were the qualifications to fill the vacant office of apostle that Judas left, and Matthias was chosen by lot, and you can say by God, to fill that. So anybody claiming today to be an apostle, you can just look at the qualifications needed in order to fill that office and say there's not a single person alive on the planet who can meet those qualifications.
Is it true, as C. Peter Wagner said there, that Jesus trained his disciples to take control? And then I kind of read the book of Acts, and boy, they did a terrible, terrible job. These guys, all but one, died as martyrs. I mean, that's hardly controlling business, enterprise, government, education, media, and the arts.
Yeah, one reads the book of Acts and then even the writings of Paul, and you sit there and go, these guys didn't sound like they had real control over the situation. I mean, they were hunted from city to city. The Apostle Paul was beaten and stoned and flogged and was shipwrecked and hungry and, you know, and, you know, cold and heated because of exposure to the elements. I mean, these guys, you know, they were the worst, you know, disciples of Jesus ever, if their mandate was to go and take control and seize these seven mountains. They instead went and proclaimed repentance and the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name, and people were brought to penitent faith in Christ as a result of the preaching of the gospel. And the reality is this, is that in a nation or a region where the gospel takes hold and where God, through his mercy, causes a large percentage of the population to trust and to believe in Christ and then bear fruit in keeping with repentance and bear the fruit of the Spirit in their lives, that it does have a transforming effect on that society or culture. But that is the result of the gospel, and transforming a culture is not a prerequisite for first preaching the gospel. So the people in the NAR who are buying into this, they are not actually doing the work of the Great Commission. They're doing the work of a counterfeit Great Commission, and the presuppositions and ideas that go along with it are absolutely contrary to what Christ himself so clearly taught, and as can be evidenced just by reading the book of Acts.
Chris, what's on tap for Fighting for the Faith tonight?
Today we're going to actually spend quite a bit of time on listener email, especially as it pertains to women in the ministry, and then we're going to be listening to a good sermon in hour number two.
You can listen to Chris Roseborough and Fighting for the Faith right after the live broadcast of Issues Etc. in about a half hour at piratechristianradio.com. Chris Roseborough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and he hosts a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, it's time to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. That means we're going to play four soundbites for you from this week's Issues Etc. audio. And then the rest is up to you. You need to give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at IssuesETC. Or go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC, and vote for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week.
Hi, I'm Pastor Steve Shave, Director of LCMS Urban and Inner City Mission. Our inner cities and Mission Field USA are groaning for the gospel. At Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, October 12th through 14th, we will present Stand Firm in the City, an urban ministry conference with great speakers and discussions. For information on Stand Firm in the City, call 260-452-2204 or check out ctsfw.edu/urban ministry conference 2015.
In Hosea 4, we read, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." At the CLCC, we educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Christians would if they learned what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website at theclcc.org. See what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And encourage your pastors to hold an event in your area. For more information, go to theclcc.org.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th Century. The 4th Century. The best of the Church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
No gimmicks, no shticks, just straightforward preaching and teaching in accord with Scripture and the Lutheran confessions. By the book liturgy, right from the hymnal. No glitz, just Christ crucified for sinners like us. We're Grace Lutheran Church in Racine, Wisconsin. Come receive God's gifts with us. Find out more about us at GraceLutheranRacine, that's all one word, .net. And like you, we're proud supporters of Issues Etc.
Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+, simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.